Shannon and I were watching a TV program the other day. I think it was called What Would You Do or something like that. I don't remember exactly what it was. But anyway, I was talking about this family that was on vacation together just a few years ago. And the family was having a great time together. They decided, you know, hey, let's go for a walk on the beach. I think it was a mom, a dad, and maybe two daughters, two young daughters. And so they started walking on the beach, and they noticed just, hey, the ocean looks a little bit different. Looks a little bit unusual this morning. But they didn't think anything about it. One of the daughters, though, she began to get worried. She said, Mom and Dad, I think there might be a tidal wave coming. They said, honey, tidal wave? No, seriously, we just studied in school that when there's going to be a tidal wave, this is kind of what the water, it looks like this, and it does this, and that's what the water's doing right now. I think there's going to be a tidal wave. Well, this little girl's 10 years old at the time. I mean, how many of his parents would have been like, honey, look, you know, we just watched the weather. The weatherman didn't say, you know, there's not going to be a tidal wave. I don't remember the whole story, but basically that little girl was responsible, because her parents finally listened to her, was responsible for her family and many others getting off the beach just before the tsunami that killed around the world over 250,000 people. Many people believe that she was the reason that no one in her particular hotel was killed on that day. Isn't that an incredible story? And some of you kids are saying, yeah, and it's evidence that Mom and Dad, you need to listen to me more often, right? Now, I'm a dad, so I'm just going to take it for the parents. Not necessarily. Sometimes. You know, that tidal wave, like that tidal wave, when things in our lives that God wants to address, sometimes people have the mindset of out of sight, out of mind. If I ignore it, maybe it won't be real. Or if I don't pay attention to it, maybe it'll go away. It's probably not that big a deal. But that on that day, if that little girl had not learned some things at school, if she had not been paying attention, and if her parents had not taken seriously the things that she was saying, more lives would have been taken because of that tsunami. A few weeks ago, we began our series on renewal, and it's been focused on Isaiah chapter 6. That's kind of our main passage, Isaiah 6 verses 1 through 8. And we've been looking at a man named Isaiah who over thousands of years ago had an incredible encounter with God that changed his life. But we've also been talking about some other renewals, some other revivals that have happened as we look back historically and some of the things that have happened during those times of renewal. And the reason for that is because we want to understand, we're kind of sensing, you know what, God, you're stirring amongst us, isn't he? God, you're doing something in our heart. You're doing something in our church family. You're doing something in our area in eastern New York. You're doing something in this nation. You're doing something across the world. I hear it all over the place. Christians are saying God's Spirit. I heard Chris Tomlin yesterday say that many people have the sense that God's Spirit is stirring across this world. And we sense that and we say, okay, God, if we were going to see that kind of change, that kind of renewal in my life and even in a mass way across many people's lives at the same time, what are some of the things that we should look for? So we've talked about that. In Isaiah 6, we talked about that. It started with Isaiah by an encounter with God, an incredible experience where Isaiah finally had an understanding of who God was, and he came into God's presence like he had never came into God's presence before. And then as he came into the Lord's presence, as he began to see who God was, he began searching his own heart. He began realizing there were some things in his own life that God began pointing out that were getting in the way of what God wanted to do. And that's kind of what we want to focus on this morning. You say, okay, God's been speaking to me. I sense that God's stirring. I sense that God's moving. I sense that we're meeting with him as we come to worship together. I sense that God's wanting me to search my heart and see, is there anything there that I need to realize, I need to be honest about, that I didn't know, or maybe I did know, I've been avoiding, and that I need to let God cleanse in my life. But you might say, what are some of the things that I would look for? What are some of the things that God might point out in my life? What are some of the common things that we need to be aware of that get in the way of God's work in our life? So today we're going to talk about common barriers to spiritual renewal. What are some of the things that as God is searching your heart, you might say, I didn't realize that, but that's something I'm struggling with. That's something that I'm dealing with. That's something that I need to let God cleanse in my life. The first thing I want to talk to you about this morning is the subject of fear. What are some of the things that get in the way of God bringing me to a fresh starting point, a dynamic place of an intimate walk with Him? One of the biggest that I find in God's Word is fear. There are many of us who are sitting here right now, and the reason that God is not able, listen, the reason that God is not able to pour His power into our lives is primarily because we're afraid of what we sense that God is wanting to do in our lives. And that fear is a blockage. It's a barrier. It's an obstacle that gets in the way of God's work in our life. When I think about this, when I think about God wanting to work in somebody's life and that person being afraid of that, I think about Moses. You ever read the story of Moses in Exodus chapter 3 and 4? God had raised up Moses to lead what some say was about 2 million Israelites out of bondage and into the promised land. Now, we read those stories so much that they don't strike us anymore. But I want you to think about it this morning. We're so hard on Moses because he got afraid and he came up with all these excuses and he told God why he wasn't the one and why he couldn't do it. But if God just asked you this morning to be the pastor of a church like New Hope Community Church, would that scare you? Well, I'm speaking from personal experience. It scares me. It scared me before I started. It still scares me. If God just spoke to you about leading a ministry in our church, not being the pastor of the church, but about leading a ministry of the church, many of us almost run away, don't we? When God began speaking to us about sharing with our neighbor what Christ has done in our life and what He wants to do in their life, many of us get so nervous, we can't even talk. We get so scared. When God began speaking to us about some issues in our life, many of us get spooked, don't we? We say, oh no, oh no, I don't want to go there. I don't want to deal with that. We get afraid of God's work. What we're saying is it's very common when God is right on the edge of doing something in you or like Moses through you that many of us get afraid. Did you know that the phrase fear not is mentioned many, many times in the Bible? Now, it's claimed by many that it's mentioned in some form or fashion 365 times. I haven't personally been able to document that many instances yet. It may be. But I can tell you it's a lot. Why is it that God would say to us over and over in His Word that we do not have to be afraid? Why is that? Because we're afraid, amen? Because we need to be assured. God knows the struggles that we have with fear. And one of my favorite instances of this is Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. In Joshua 1, 9. Now listen, get some perspective on this. Many times we think that people in our lives are so strong and so, you know, whatever, they're such a spiritual giant or whatever, but what you don't realize, Joshua probably didn't believe the fact that Moses, back in Exodus chapter 3 and 4, Moses was afraid. But all Joshua knew of Moses was he's some spiritual giant. So here's Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, and God tells Joshua, He says, Moses has died. And now, you the man. How do you think Joshua felt about that? Man, I'm not like Moses. I can't do what Moses did. I can't lead all these people. I can't be like him. And in this passage, God tells Joshua three times, Joshua, be strong and courageous. Joshua, be strong and courageous. Joshua, be strong and courageous. And then in verse 9, he says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Really? Have you thought about it? When we allow fear to keep us from letting God work in our lives, listen, it really amounts to a lack of trust. God promised Joshua. Guess what? He promises you. Whatever God calls you to do, whatever God is working in your heart, God promises to be with you. God promises to take care of you. But we're not so sure, are we? Will God take care of me? Can I really trust Him? Did you realize that, listen, when you are afraid, when we're afraid to let God work in and through our lives, did you realize that we're really saying more about God than we are about ourselves? Have you thought about that? I didn't intend to do that, did you? I didn't intend to say I wasn't trusting. I didn't realize that. But there are some of us in this room right now, God's speaking to you just like the lady last night. God is speaking to you about Him becoming your Savior. He wants you to give your life to Him. But you're afraid of that. You're not sure, what's that going to mean for my life? How's that going to change my life? And so out of that fear, what do? We wait. And what are we putting off? We're putting off a relationship with the God who created us. Does anybody need help in life? Does anybody need a Savior? Does anybody need somebody to deliver you from all the struggles that you face? That help is right there available, but fear keeps us from experiencing it. Isn't that sad? There are some who are listening right now that God's speaking to you about serving Him in some way or growing in some way. But like Moses and Joshua, isn't it encouraging that you find people in God's Word who are just like me? They struggle just like I did. They're just normal people. In fact, that's one of the things I hope you learn at New Hope Community Church. I hope we learn more and more that God does work through people, but the people that God works through are ordinary people just like me, but they trust an extraordinary God. Amen? Joshua and Moses were afraid to trust the Lord and to take those steps of faith. And some of us in this room are too. And that fear is keeping us. And it may be the only thing that's keeping us from God working in a mighty way in our lives. And I want you to think about that for just a moment. Think about the picture of that from heaven. How odd it must be as God looks down from heaven. How odd, how sad it must be that God looks down. He says, the enemy has lost the war for your soul. If you're a child of God, the enemy has lost the war. Praise God, amen? God's won that victory. But on a daily basis, the enemy is getting a lot of little victories. And maybe some not so little, right? Because as he whispers lies in your ear, and by the way, what are lies? Lies are things that are not true. Now, I want you to begin to mark this, because aren't you glad we come to church? God speaks to our heart. God reveals things to us. Maybe you didn't realize this, but have you realized that you are actually trusting the word of the enemy, who is a liar, more than you are trusting the word of God? God has made you some promises and you can trust Him, but you and I many times are trusting the word of the enemy. Is that okay with you? It's not okay with me. I say, dear Lord, I didn't know I was doing that. I didn't realize that. I want you to ask yourself, am I afraid to take a step forward with God? Is my fear keeping me from a new experience of a closer relationship with God? And if the answer is yes, what is it that I'm afraid of? Have you just sat down and thought about it? What is it that I'm afraid of, and why am I afraid of that? Listen to the promise of God's Word. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I dread? Man, I want to tell you today, without Christ, I am in big time trouble. But with Christ, the Bible says, I can do all things. Man, I can be pretty strong. One thing God taught me through Moses, and you maybe heard me share this before, God used that passage in Exodus chapter 3 and 4, and I'll tell you, you're probably thinking of in your head, this is why I used it. I'll tell you why I used it. In Exodus 3 and 4, when God was calling me to start this church family, that's the passage I went to. God was speaking to Moses. Many of the things He was speaking to Moses about, He was speaking to me about. But I want to tell you, Moses' experience of excuses was your pastor's as well. But one of the things God began to speak to me about is, Robbie, you're right. You are going to be overwhelmed. You're either going to be overwhelmed by me, the Lord says, or you're going to be overwhelmed by what I ask you to do, by what I call you to do. You're going to be overwhelmed. So let's just get over it, okay? Can you be okay the rest of your life being in over your head? Are you okay with that? Hey, who are you kidding? You're already in over your head, right? You're just faking it. Just get used to that. I'm going to be in over my head, but I'd rather be in over my head with God. Amen? So fear keeps us from God's renewal in our lives. But the second thing I want to talk to you about, and this is a toughie, is unforgiveness. For many of us, somebody has done something to hurt us, and we're holding on to that. We're not able to release that debt. In fact, that's what forgiveness means, to loose, to set free, to release a debt. And that thing is holding you back from experiencing God's power in your life. Now, I want to tell you again, this is a tough, tough thing for me to talk about. And I'll tell you why it's tough. Because first of all, as your pastor, I see every week in so many people's lives, and many of you who are sitting here and many others, and there's many things I'm not aware of. But I know what this life has done to us. I know many of the hurts and the struggles that, and I know what many of us, you know, with Jesus Christ working through our lives, we can do wonderful things. But without Christ, we as people can be very hurtful to each other, can't we? So I know some of the struggles and how hard it is. But also in my own life, I've had some people do some pretty rotten things to me too. And those things hurt, don't they? I mean, the reality is, those things were not right. And I sense, just like you do, that those people, that should be taken care of. It can't just be ignored. Somebody should pay something, or somebody should do something, or somebody should fix this, or somebody should make it right. It's not just something that we can overlook. Amen? It just seems like that was wrong, and something needs to fix it. So we understand that. That's the struggle. But here's what I've got to share with you, that God has been working on my heart over the years. This is tough. But no matter what anyone has done against me, and no matter how much justice I really do rightly deserve, I can't get past the fact. I'm going to share my heart with you. I can't get past the fact that there is nothing that anyone has ever done to me, as bad as it might have been, that is worse than what all of us have done against God. In fact, I want to just personalize maybe your struggle for just a moment. And again, as we walk through this, I want to be very careful. We're going to talk about this more in just a minute, not to minimize one bit the pain that anybody has been through. But you know what? As you think about your particular struggle, I want you to realize that what that person has done against you was also an offense against God. When they did that wrong thing, they offended God's laws. But even worse than that, and I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but I pray that just the understanding of this will begin to sink down into your heart, and that you would chew on this a little bit, because I believe it'll draw you closer to Jesus maybe than you've ever been before. Did you realize that what I had done against me, what you had done against you, did you realize that Jesus didn't die for something like that? Did you realize that He actually paid for that sin? Did you realize that when He died on the cross, the struggle, the pain, the conflict, the stomach ache, the chest hurting, the nights awake, not being able to sleep over this, did you know that Jesus Christ felt all that you have gone through, and even more than that, when He died on the cross? Wow. You know, I can't really say nobody understands. Because the Bible says God can say, I have been through this for you, and I'm going through this with you. And you know, the thing that I can't get past is, He went through my same pain, but somehow, and I can't figure it out, and I don't necessarily like it sometimes, but somehow, even though He's gone through that as well, He is willing to forgive that person for what they've done to Him, if they'll receive it. And as I've thought about that, it just feels very odd for me to be the one who won't forgive them. It even looks more odd when I deserve judgment too for other things that I've done, but God forgave me. And the best passage for that, again, this is tough. This is challenging. Matthew chapter 18, verses 23 through 35. The Bible says, for this reason, talking about forgiveness, for this reason the kingdom of heaven may be compared to, here's the way God does things is what it's saying. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle his accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. So here's a guy who owed him a debt. The debt was 10,000 talents. Now, a talent was 15 years' worth of wages. 10,000 times 15 years' worth of wages. Now, today, just with the average salary today, that would be about $7 to $8 billion. But listen, let's don't get too much into figuring it up. You know what God's trying to say? 10,000 was one of the highest, if not the highest word. I think it might have been the highest word they had in the Greek language for numbers. What God was trying to say is it was an unpayable debt. Do you see that? I mean, there's just no way. But listen to what the guy says. It says, but since he could not repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had in repayment to be made. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, have patience with me and I'll repay you everything. Now, he could not have repaid that debt. He was just saying, please, be patient with me. I'll fix it somehow. The guy says, there's no way he can fix it. And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. There's that release. But that slave, the one who was forgiven of an unpayable debt, went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. Now, 100 denarii was a denarii was a day's wages. 100 days' wages, that's about 3 months, right? Hey, that's no small pennies, is it? If somebody took 3 months of your pay, let's say it was maybe around $15,000, $10,000, $20,000, according to what the average pay would be. $10,000, $15,000. If somebody, would you just say, hey, no big deal, don't worry about it? That's a lot to me, amen? So it's not saying it was a minor debt. This person owed him 3 months' wages, and he seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe. So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, have patience with me and I'll repay you. But he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. The Bible's saying, the implication here is that, yes, we have things in our lives that are huge debts that are owed to us. But what God wants us to begin doing, through, and again, not to minimize in any way, but through the power of His Spirit, through His help, through His healing, is to realize whatever I have had done against me is like $15,000 in comparison with $7 billion with what God has forgiven for me. And here's something else I began to realize. In a weird twist of things, when I hold on to something that somebody has done to me, don't miss this, whether they ever change or not, or make it right or whatever, if I continue to hang on to that, I am still allowing that person to control my life. Have you ever thought about that? They may be just having fun, living life, being okay. And here you are, still hanging on to that, and they are controlling your life still. And the thing that they did is going to continue causing pain and hurt in your life and the lives of others. The Bible warns us about that. Listen, don't let things sit. Don't let things fester. Don't let things grow in your heart, especially hatred and anger and bitterness and resentment. It says in Hebrews 12:15, see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. The Bible warns us, be careful that you don't allow that bitterness, that hatred, that resentment to take root in your life and to grow. And eventually, how many of us have seen somebody go through something terrible, and it was a terrible thing, but they could not stop the cycle there. They continued to allow that to breed in their heart, and eventually it broke up their family, it messed up their job, it destroyed the rest of their life. Again, this is probably one of the toughest of these barriers for me to talk to you about, because I know to some extent how very bad many of us have been hurt. And we do not want to give the impression for a minute that pain is not important, or to minimize it or to gloss over it in any way. In fact, what we are saying does not mean that if someone broke the law, it does not mean that you cannot bring them to justice. That's why God put the law there. It does not mean if someone hurts you that you should pretend like it didn't happen. It does not mean that you have to try to have a relationship with that person any longer. It does not mean that God or anyone else should minimize what you have lost. Actually, part of the reason that God takes sin so seriously is because He knows the pain and the hurt that is brought to your life. And that's why He takes it very seriously. And He is going to judge sin one day. But somehow in the midst of what has happened, God calls us to seek to treat that person the same way that God has treated us, and to find a way to move forward past it. Do you want that to define your life for the rest of your life? If we don't allow Christ to do this work in our heart, unforgiveness can have a devastating impact on God working our lives. Regardless of what that other person ever chooses to do, it can remain a hindrance to God's work in your life. Maybe I should put it this way. Some of us know, don't we? How is that situation, whatever it is, how is that situation that you know of in your life, how is it keeping you from moving forward with God right now? Some of us know that, don't we? And the challenge is, however God speaks to you about dealing with that, would you let Jesus work in your heart this morning? And begin to work that out. So there's fear, there's unforgiveness, but the last thing I want to talk about this morning are ungodly influences. And what we're really bringing up here is you may actually want to follow God, but there's a barrier sometimes. Sometimes you have so many other voices in your life that those other voices have a stronger pull than God's voice. Maybe it's not many voices, but maybe there's a few people that are really important to you. I can't tell you how many times I've seen people. This is one of the most heartbreaking things about being a pastor. So many times I see that people are right on the edge. They just have gotten a taste of what God can do. And they're right on the edge of taking some major steps forward. But right when that's about to happen, something knocks the leg out from under that. And many times it is one or two other people in their lives. It might be a family member. It might be a friend. It might be a coworker. Many times it's a relationship. I can't tell you how many times people have come to me. I know God's wanting to work in my life, but... And there's some guy or there's some lady, and they choose that person and that person's voice over listening to God. Friends, I want to tell you, this can be a major factor in keeping you from spiritual renewal. You may have voices, and there may just be a few, but there's some important people in your life. It may be your mom, it may be your grandmother, and we want to respect all those people in our lives, but we need to be very careful that family or friends or coworkers or neighbors or influences in your life do not keep you from listening to God's voice. The enemy knows that for many of us, are you listening? The enemy knows that for many of us, we are only one step away from God working mightily. And he knows that all it takes is one little tug from one direction, and it's over, and you missed it. For others of us, it's not any individual, but the fact of the matter is, in our society, especially with all the media that we have, there are so many voices different than God's that we hear. Amen? That's a major factor that we have to consider. And I want you to think about this, and this is a huge point to make. If you do not make a decision to be very intentional about what you are putting into your mind, but if you don't do anything, I've noticed in this world, you go park a car outside and don't do anything to it, what's it going to do? It's going to rust. That's the way your life's going to be, okay? If you don't do anything, you go out in this world, you're just going to get grabbed right back up by the messages, by the influences. We have to be very intentional. Now, listen, I don't know if you're like me. I said it earlier in the service. You have a lot of voices speaking to you this past week. Maybe it's the family, the friends, people at work, things on TV, things that you've read. Do you ever find yourself when you come to church? Anybody relate to this? It takes me till about the third or fourth song before I really start getting clued into God again. Anybody? I've had so much going on. I've got so much fogginess, so much fuzziness in my heart that it takes me a while to get back on God's page. Amen? Okay. Well, I'm trusting you're there now. I'm trusting he's got your attention. Right now is the time to make the decision. Because have you ever found it? By about Tuesday or Wednesday, I remember some songs Pastor Jeff led us in and something Pastor Robbie said. By about Wednesday or Thursday, all bets are off. It's just every man for himself. Amen? Because you got to make a decision right now. What's going to influence my life? And I want to challenge you about this because I think that this is something that many people are naive about. I'm amazed at how comfortable many Christians are with living in close proximity to danger. Did you hear me? Many of us have very many dangerous influences around us, and we're naive. We're thinking that's okay. I especially want to warn those who are maybe just getting started in your Christian walk, because many times we have been living with some dangerous influences or some things that have been destructive, and many times we're on the verge, we're coming out of that, right? It's very easy, if you're not careful, for that to suck you back in, right? Isn't that the case? But even if you've been a Christian for 25 years, none of us are exempt. You might be kind of letting some of those old influences creep back into your life. So I want to think about it. What influences are in your life? What TV program? Oh, you're going to get all legalistic. No, I'm not. I'm not going to say what you should watch. I'm not going to tell you what you should do. I just want to challenge your thinking. Think about it. What TV programs do you watch? What magazines do you read? What catalogs do you look? What internet sites do you frequent? What songs are on your MP3 player? And how are some of those things, and maybe haven't even thought, you know, many people have this dichotomy between God and real life. I want you to start breaking that. I want you to start bringing those two together. God wants us to do that. And so don't say, well, here's how I think, here's what I sing, here's how I view things when I'm with the Lord or when I'm at church or when I'm with His people or when I'm praying, but then now I'm back to real life. The enemy's got you. How are some of those influences opposing what God is wanting to do in your life? And you know what? Some of you might have grown to the point you say, you know what? I've tried my best to look and to see what are some influences that oppose God. I've tried to get rid of those in my life. It may not be that those are necessarily opposing God, but it might be that you just have so many other voices that you are listening to. And that goes back to is the only time I'm listening to God every Sunday? Friends, I'm going to tell you, this is not enough for me. This is a big part for me. This is huge. I can't stand it when I miss church. I want to be with you guys. I want to hear from the Lord. I want to worship Him. But this is not enough for me. If this is all I have between now and next Sunday, I'm going to be hurting. Amen? So do you have so many other voices around you? What about your friends? The Bible warns us in a negative way and in a positive way. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, how blessed is the man? That's what I want to be. Amen? Tell me more. What kind of guy? Who's blessed? How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked and does not live his life on the advice of those who don't love God, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. It's talking about you're not comfortable being influenced by people who do not love God. That's not where you want to frequent. That's not where you want to live. Now listen, let's be very clear about something. This is not saying that we should separate ourselves as Christians from the world, go live in North Dakota or Montana somewhere and get a bunch of canned goods and wait for Jesus. That's not what it's saying. God has left us in this world so that we can share Christ with those who don't know Him. So yes, we need to build relationships and have connections with those who don't yet know the Lord. But what it's talking about is who is influencing your life. It says, how blessed is the man who does not get influenced by those, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he chews on it day and night. What are you saying? Am I supposed to read the Bible all the time? No, that's not what we're saying. But to let God's word sink into your heart, and you're processing that, you're encouraging that all throughout the day. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. It sounds like common sense, but if it was, it'd be a lot more common. Amen? Now, that's from the negative side, but let me encourage you from the positive side. I was thinking about this earlier this week. Around our house, we have influences. And we've tried to say as a family, what are things, what are magazines, what are TV programs, what are radio stations, what are CDs, what are things around our house that are going to discourage or encourage us to look to the Lord? And you know what? For some of us, we just may not know what those are. I remember as a young married couple, I remember wanting to give our kids some Christian influence, but I didn't know what little kids' programs were out there. And somebody told us about Focus on the Family. They told us about that Adventures in Odyssey thing. And somebody like, Adventures in Odyssey, what's that? I want to hear about that too. I didn't know about that till somebody shared with me. So now when we get in our vehicle, we have some resources that when the kids want to listen to something, we can put that in. Or somebody began sharing with us about different Christian musicians or different CDs or things like that. Now, I'm not saying, because as a pastor, I've tried to be very careful about this with my family. I'm not saying that everywhere in our house there's angels singing or there's, you know, Christian verses on the wall. You know what? I want to be a normal person living a normal life, okay? It's not church part two at Robbie's house, okay? But we've got David Jeremiah. We've got Charles Stanley. We've got little devotional books. We've got letters from missionaries that we're supporting and things like that. Look, opportunities. Even when I'm just sitting around the house, when I'm not even thinking, I'm just resting, relaxing, I can pick up things. I can't tell you how many times God's been speaking to my heart about something, or I was praying about a message, and I was just sitting down not doing anything and just picking up something, and God just began to speak to my heart and to give me His direction. What am I trying to say? Are you giving yourself plenty of opportunity to hear from God? If you want to get serious about God working in and through your life, you've got to look around your life and ask, what are the influences in my life? And how are those things influencing me to focus on the Lord or not? And back to the negative viewpoint, we were in a marriage study a couple of months ago, and Steve Stewart, who was leading that class, he made a great statement in relation to marriage, but I think it applies here as well. Even if you are making a lot of deposits from God in your spiritual bank, if you have more withdrawals on the negative side, eventually that's going to offset that, isn't it? Are you putting more deposits in than you're making negative withdrawals? Are you drowning out the Lord's voice? Are you giving Him plenty of opportunity to speak? Last time in our series, we talked about searching my heart. What I'm trying to do today is help you to think about, if God began searching my heart, what are some of the things that I might need to be aware of? Some of us here today are afraid, aren't we? And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of things you've got to deal with in your life. There's a lot of things you sense God's working on. But you need to drive a stake in the ground and say, you know what, starting from this point forward, I'm just going to trust the Lord. Would you do that today? I'm just going to trust Him. I'm going to quit trusting myself. I'm going to quit trusting other influences. I'm going to quit trusting the voice of the enemy. And I'm just going to start trusting the Lord. Why don't you put it on Him to come through? Amen? He can handle it. For some of us, you would say, Pastor, I want to move forward, but I can't get over it. I can't get over what that person did to me. Man, my heart goes out to that person. Man, my heart goes out to you. Friend, I don't know what to do with that, but the Bible seems to challenge us. Somehow you've got to let the Lord move you forward. Somehow you've got to find a way to release that, to loose that, and let God take you forward in your life. And some of us, man, we want to hear from the Lord. We're not sure why we're not growing. And maybe God's just put His finger on it today, because you're putting deposits in on the weekends. You're putting a few deposits in during the mornings before you leave for work, but you're pulling a lot of withdrawals out. You're sucking it all dry. How could God work? Because you keep just drowning His work with other things. Are you ready for renewal? Then maybe it's time to get serious about letting the Lord knock down some of these barriers. Father, thank You that You show us the way. I pray that we'd not only hear it, but we'd listen and we'd follow You. In Jesus' name, amen. If God is speaking to your heart, we're going to give you a time right now to respond to that. You can either, right where you're standing, just talk to God. We're going to sing a song here in just a moment. You can talk to the Lord right where you're standing. You can come. Last night, somebody just came and knelt down front, just knelt for prayer. You're welcome to do that if you'd like to. If you want to talk to somebody, last night some people came to talk to me about their relationship with God. I'm so glad they did, because it made an eternal difference. Maybe it's not eternity you need to deal with this morning, but maybe you know there's a blockage. There's something getting in the way. And I don't know how to move that, but I need God to move that. Amen? Is that your heart? I'm ready. Are you tired of staying where you are? I'm ready to move forward.